Hi, everyone. I hope you're well. Kane, it's been a long time since we've done one of these.
Yeah.
We're kind of dusting off the dust
literally,
up here.
Literally dusting off the dust from the microphone. But it's such a nice day. We have the window open. So if you listen real carefully,
you can hear some birds.
You can hear some birds.
I love that. Well, I wanted to do a podcast. I was actually in the office and I had a patient I was talking to, and she was telling us how much she enjoyed the podcast. And she said, when are you going to do another one? And I said, you know what? We're going to have to do one. And I asked her, is there anything that she'd recommend for a podcast? And she said, you know, you've talked about all the different podcasts, but what I'd like to know is what lasers, for what purposes, what procedures, can you kind of go through it a little bit more in combination? So I thought what I would do is present patients, or I'll have you present patients that come in kind of like a fictitious patient that comes in for a consultation, and basically what we go over with them. And so that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah, it's a pretty broad topic. So yeah, I'll present a case study and you just kind of go through kind of a pretend consult, I guess, right?
Sounds like a plan.
All right.
So what you got?
All right. So the first case study is a 43-year-old patient with fine lines.
Okay.
Also has wrinkles, especially around the eyes, and crepiness to the skin, along with some pigmented sunspots. So fine lines, wrinkles, crepiness, sunspots.
Okay. And has she ever had Botox before? Any neuromodulators before?
I don't really know who this person is.
Well, just you be the person that answers yes or no.
Yes, she has had Botox in the past.
Okay, so I would start there. I would start with the fine line, with the fine lines and wrinkles, and especially the crow's feet around the eyes, with a little bit of neuromodulator. In our practice, we primarily use Botox and Dysport, but know that there's five different ones out there: Botox, Dysport, Jeuveau, Daxxify, and Xeomin.
So that's just kind of a basic go-to for the fine lines.
For more of the dynamic lines, the wrinkles around the eyes, the crow's feet, etc. Yes, okay. That's you always want to start there, because if you can minimize the dynamic lines, what I mean by dynamic lines are the lines that are created with movement. If you can minimize that, then you're going to lessen the chance of having deeper static lines. So that's where we typically always start, is with a little neuromodulator.
And for people that maybe haven't had a toxin before, this would, you'd expect it to last around 3 to 4 months.
Correct. It's FDA for 3 months. Now there is, Daxxify was FDA cleared for 6 months. It's a newer one. And I have to say, we brought it into the practice last year. We weren't quite getting 6 months in 7 out of 10 of the patients that we treated. I think it is a good option maybe for 4 months or so, but because it was more expensive, I think more people deviated back to Botox and Dysport. So nothing against Daxxify, but it just didn't seem to last as long as 6 months.
Okay.
But yes, typically 3 to 4 months, patients will come in for that. So that's a good place to start with the dynamic line. Now, in regard to the crepiness around the eyes, you know, there's multiple different lasers and devices, energy-based devices that
can stop you first? Like, can you give us a visual of what crepiness or looks like?
So crepiness is kind of, it's kind of almost like little fine lines that you see on the skin. You can really see it under the eyes. It's not like deep lines, but it's just kind of a crepey appearance, like thin skin to the area.
Okay.
And so I really like plasma for that. I think plasma energy works well with the elastin production, which is kind of what crepiness entails, collagen and elastin, but the elastin production. So one of my favorite treatment modalities for that is the Age Jet around the eyes.
And there is a podcast episode on Age Jet for those of you that maybe want to go listen to that.
There is. And what we mean by plasma is not blood plasma, and it's not plasma pen, but it's rather nitrogen plasma for the area. And it works really well. There's kind of two different settings that we use: a lower level setting that typically does not have much of a downtime, or a higher level setting that does have a different downtime. And there's different cost perspectives for these two as well.
Okay. And then the last thing that was presenting on this patient was some pigmented sunspots.
Pigmented sunspots. So always, always want to wear our sun protection, at least SPF of 30 for sure, and opt for a zinc and titanium based one if possible. So that's important. And also a little bit of a retinol at nighttime is important as well. Just some good skincare. Retinoic acid, tretinoin might be a good thing to utilize as well. But for sunspots, if it's not in the summertime, then I love IPL. I think IPL can really target the superficial pigmented spots. And that's, of course, assuming that the skin has been checked, that there's no issues of any type of cancerous area, skin cancers and whatnot. But just for the classic sunspot, I love IPL for that.
Okay. So for this patient, you could look at a plan of some neurotoxin like Botox or Dysport, maybe hit around the eyes for some of that crepiness with plasma or AgeJet, which we have, and then also the sunspots. There's some products that you'd want to be able to use, but ultimately you're going to look at doing an IPL for the sunspots.
Correct. And the way I'd stage it is I'd do my Botox first and IPL second, and then I would chase it with a plasma afterward. Again, assuming that we're not doing this in the summertime. Otherwise, IPLs, I typically shift off until October.
Okay.
And then it's also one more thing that's important. If you are on a retinol or a retinoic acid, remember to stop it 1 week prior to any energy-based devices. So we would make sure the patient stops that.
Why would you do that?
You just don't want to have any type of redness or some peeling. You just want to make sure that that is not a part of it so that when they do, and also patients, we use topical numbing, and sometimes that can even sting a little bit more when the skin has been dried out and has been peeling.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to our next case study. We have a 62-year-old smoker wanting a laser for the deep lines. Around the mouth, deep lines around the mouth, the nasolabial fold. And there's also hollowing of the mid face. What would you recommend?
So one thing that's important that you pointed out is a smoker. And unfortunately, a lot of collagen stimulation is thwarted with smoking because it minimizes the vitamin C, the systemic vitamin C, and you need vitamin C as a cofactor to build collagen. So I always tell patients that with lasers, you're really not going to get as much of a benefit with that. So I would probably, it sounds like even though she's thinking of a laser, it sounds like these deeper nasolabial fold areas and mid-face hollowing would be more of a filler. And patients who are smokers can certainly do well with fillers. I probably would not do Sculptra, which Sculptra is a biostimulatory, again, that stimulates collagen because of the fact that she might have a lessened response to stimulating collagen.
So because of smoking, there are limitations, and it's important for people to know.
There are. I mean, you have to really modulate expectations, and I always say, don't waste your money. I mean, I do like IPLs. I like anything where I don't need to stimulate their collagen. And I think so, fillers, neuromodulators, IPLs, threads, PDO threads, those are things that can be done.
And other things can be done. You're just not going to probably see the results.
Correct.
Nothing bad's going to happen.
Correct. You just might see a portion, a very small fraction of the results.
So when I'm looking at these first two case studies, that we have the first one with fine lines and wrinkles, and the second one is talking about deep lines. What's the difference?
Well, now, if there's true deep lines, what she was describing, sometimes patients will say, I have these deep lines around my mouth when it's really volume loss.
Okay.
So you have to differentiate between volume loss and true deep lines. Deep lines are, you've seen some of the patients who might have been tennis players or runners, and they've been out in the sun, and they get really deep, deep grooves within their skin. Those are deeper lines that you have to do something more aggressive, such as a high-level plasma or a CO2 laser to try to get to those depths.
Okay.
But this sounds more like volume loss.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to our next patient.
Okay.
We have a 51-year-old male with deep glabellar lines. So that's the 11s, right?
Right.
Static and dynamic with a full face. So kind of a round face.
Okay.
Wants to address these and also discuss options to help tighten his face.
Okay. So you mentioned both dynamic and static lines.
Yeah.
Now, that's really important because if I just did Botox, which I still would do because you want to minimize the dynamic lines that's causing the deeper static lines, but I would really have to let him know that, okay, see these lines at rest? They're not going to go away with Botox. Botox is going to help minimize that movement, but those lines will still be present there. So we have to do something different. Now, remember, there are some important arteries that travel right through that area. So I am not a big filler
person.
When
you say that area,
right in these 11 areas here. So
kind of that angry look.
Correct. The supratrochlear artery we want to stay away from. So we would want to be able to, I do like smooth threads that I pass through there. And that way smooth threads can augment that static line there without the worry of causing a arterial occlusion with a filler. So that is one area. I stay away from that area with filler, and I stay away from the nose with filler as well, just as a side note. And I stay away from the infraorbital area too.
Is the nose for the same reason? Or
the nose has got an angular artery, and it typically runs on the side and not up the middle of the nose. But if someone's had a rhinoplasty done, if they've had a nose procedure done, then the anatomy can be distorted. So I stay away from that as well, as far as filler is concerned.
Do people inject fillers in those areas? Is that a thing?
They do, less and less, because those are the risk areas for blindness, less and less. But those are, there are some nose injections that if you go stay in the midline, no one's ever had a rhinoplasty that you can get down to the bone and stay a little safer. But those are higher risk areas. But I stay away from them.
Okay. And then also he wanted to discuss options to help tighten his face, his full skin, his full face.
Sure. Okay. So another good point you bring up. When a patient has a fuller face, then one of the procedures I really like for those type of patients is something called Densa. And you've heard us talk about Densa in a podcast too. Densa combines both monopolar and bipolar radio frequency. Really does not hurt. We do numb for this, but there are some cryogen cooling that's part of the procedure so that patients feel a little coolness as the procedure is being done. There's really not much of a downtime. Sometimes it can be like a little area of redness that might be prolonged for about a couple of days, but typically I would say 90% of patients hardly experience any redness post-Densa. I like a fuller face for that because that's where you can see the results of that more. So you kind of see a lifting of the tissue. I found that very thin faces with laxity don't do as well. So I like the fuller face, the hydrated face for Densa. If they're more skinnier and more lax, then there might be other options. There's a device called Ativa RF that's going to be coming out that might be an option for something like that as well. But that is a patient that I think Densa would be really nice for. And again, we have before and after photos on our Instagram page, which is under Saluja Laser MD.
Okay. Okay. And let's move on to the last case study.
Okay. We're moving right along.
We have a 46-year-old female who just got engaged. Yay for her. And wanted her hands to look better.
Okay. So this is probably...
You got to have that nice diamond ring shining on nice hands.
That's right. That's right. And so typically in our 40s, we start to see more of, again, we see volume loss and we can see pigmentation. And I always tell patients, go on Amazon or go to Cooley Bar or wherever you get your UPF clothing and get yourself some UPF gloves. And Kane, you've seen me wear them. I've got
you
them.
You wear
in,
them.
Oh, at the minute.
You think you're a race car driver.
The minute I step into my car, I put those. We're having some microphone issues here. Are you also? I hope this is recording. But the minute I get into my car, I immediately put those gloves on, and they're very inexpensive, and they're just something that you can just protect your hands with. But again, assuming that it's not the summertime, a nice IPL is really nice to clean up the pigmentation. And then I do inject filler into the hands because we get such a tenderness look to the hands, and just a little bit of filler can really be lovely there.
Okay, so when I kind of think about these four different case studies, there's some consistencies. Number one, there are some injectables that can address a lot of issues.
Even number one is what you can do at home, what you can do with sunscreen at home, what you can do with moisturizers and also retinoic acids. These are important. And vitamin C serum. I'm a big antioxidant person in the morning time as well. So those are things that you can do at home. And then in the office, yes. If there's dynamic lines or wrinkles, neuromodulator. It's almost like, Kane, and I know you think this is a silly analogy, but it's almost like you think about a symphony, and total rejuvenation is like a symphony, meaning that if you want one part addressed and you're just a drummer, well, you'll still hear music, but you might just hear a drum beat. But if you want every aspect of the face to be as rejuvenated without surgery, then sure, you have to look at dynamic lines and wrinkles. You have to look at volume loss. And you have to address the quality of the skin and with lasers and energy-based devices, because you could even have a surgical procedure, a facelift, but you would still have old skin if you're not addressing the quality of the youthful skin. So
I think that's one of the things a lot of people overlook, right? I mean, it's the Botox and Dysport and the neuromodulators are so well known that people want that done, but they overlook addressing just the overall health and quality of the skin.
Absolutely. I mean, you really want to look at the dermal health, and it can really make such a difference cleaning up the pigment or just addressing some of these textural issues in how we look.
Okay. So these are just four typical patients that would come in. And if you want more details on some of the things that we discussed, there's probably a podcast for it. So just look at the other episodes. You can get a little more information.
That's right. And we'll try to do more. And certainly if you all have any suggestions and next time you're in, just let me know and I'll try to address it probably in the next couple of months. But thanks again for listening and we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.